AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology Herbicide from Syngenta, the first dicamba herbicide premix, which offers both contact control to manage the weeds you see and residual control to help protect against the weeds you don't see yet. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted-use pesticide. Yeah, not much price action in the corn and soybean markets today, but livestock futures were under pressure, and wheat futures, they gave up everything that they gained yesterday, so much for the supply side scare for the wheat market. And the energy complex, yep, still pushing to the upside.
Live from the faltering ice dome via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Luke Swenson from The Money Farm. And right after the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, thank you so much, man.
14 whole degrees, baby. Double digits above. That's what I make it. Yep.
That's awesome.
And 14. Let me just check the window quick. Stand by. Let me check.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got 10 degrees with some very, very light flurries.
Says flurries, but I don't see any outside the broadcast laboratory here. No.
All right. Everything else okay? I mean, you're surviving the weather, aren't you?
Everything is great, brother. I just had the most, like last night, okay, I had these two really thick bone-in pork chops. I was going to cook one up for dinner, you know.
Uh-huh.
I thought, well, I want one for lunch, and I don't want to go through the hassle of cooking again,
sure.
You know?
Sure, yeah.
So I heated that puppy up, put it over a nice bed of lettuce with a chopped up yellow pepper, some ranch dressing, some cottage cheese. I am fired up, baby. I'm fired up. Fueled up on some Iowa pork right now.
I've got a little Iowa pork running through my system as well. I do.
Attaboy.
Yes, a little smoked ham, pork hock going.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was part.
That sounds delicious.
It was part of. It was part of the bean soup that I had for lunch,
mm-hmm.
man.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All
that
right.
Goes straight to the bloodstream like that.
You bet. Love him or hate him, he was an icon and someone that. Paved the way for many a talk show host on AM radio. Mm-hmm. Rush Limbaugh has passed at the age of 70. And like I said, love him or hate him, there's no denying that he was a voice that was heard and was influential mm-hmm. and was entertaining
absolutely,
as well.
He was.
I mean, I know people that tuned into Rush for one reason and one reason only, and that was to argue. That was to see how big of an idiot he could be again today. And then there were others that were in complete agreement with him. And I know and love people on both sides of that, but he was appointment radio for many, many listeners across the country.
I used to listen to him all the time back in my cowboy days, and just from my perspective, and I wasn't a broadcaster back then. My dad, did a little broadcasting back in the day. What a broadcaster. What an example of the voice from behind the golden ERB microphone.
That's right.
Rush Limbaugh. That's right. Man.
All right, man. Let's get into it. What you got for the news?
Well, Chip, March soft red winter wheat futures opened higher, spiked resistance at yesterday's high, then retreated to spike support at yesterday's low. The front month SRW contract bounced a bit from session lows to avoid a downside reversal, but still posted a low range close. Now, we talked about this on Tuesday, but yesterday's gains were driven by winter kill concerns, which generally provide very short-lived support, usually. Wheat was also pressured by yesterday's upside reversal in the U.S. dollar index. Today's follow-through buying, that sent the greenback up about 450 points, baby. July hard red wheat, 11 and 3/4 cents lower, 633 and a half. July soft red fell 9 and 1/2, 637 and a quarter. September spring wheat, 6 cents lower, 6.49¾. Chip.
Yeah, give and take market. The market that really seems to be holding on to the volatility that we've experienced recently in the grains is wheat. And we can't forget about what's going on with Russia and the implementation of some new export taxes there, too.
March corn futures opened nearly steady and saw light price pressure for much of the session. Prices returned to near steady levels on the close to keep prices near the midpoint of the February trading range. Traders continue to point to slower than normal bean harvest in Brazil. That is delaying planting of the Safrina corn crop as a source of support for corn prices. Other traders said trading interest was drained from the market by anticipation of tomorrow's USDA Ag Outlook Forum. March corn futures 0.75 cents higher today, 5.53. May corn firmed a penny to 5.50¾. December corn closed at 4.60 even, up 2¼ cents. Chip.
Yeah, planted acres for corn and soybeans. That seems to be where the attention is for USDA's Ag Outlook Forum. We'll have a conversation with Luke Swenson about that here in just a moment.
In Tuesday's trade, soybean meal was an anchor on the soy complex. Today, meal futures pulled bean and bean oil futures upward from session lows. The price range in bean futures has been narrowing since last week and narrowed again today to just 14 cents. March futures opened slightly higher but closed below the open while posting an inside day on the daily chart. That points to more sideways action as traders await news from South America or from USDA's Ag Outlook Forum to bust prices out of that sideways trading range. Another round of strong demand news from the National Oilseed Processors Association also helped to limit selling interest. March bean futures a penny lower, 13.83¾. May beans slipped a penny, 13.84¾. November bean futures 11.89 on the close, up 3¼ cents today.
Yeah, NOPA bean crush in January, up 4% from the previous record. So really good number for NOPA in January. Okay, let's wait to get to the rest of the news because Bubba's on the line here. Let's get him in here. Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, man?
What's up, Chip Davis, Rush
hey,
Michelson?
What do you see in the markets that you like?
I love it. Love them. Love them. They're going higher. They're going to pop. This has been good trading actions. Good, solid work to go up to higher highs. That's the way I see it. I think that everything looks great. I don't, you know, my one concern, wheat's got about 6 or 7 cents or so on the downside to break down. But other than that, if it holds here, which I expect it to, I think across the board we go higher and we have, we make higher highs across the board, you know, in the next couple of months, maybe sooner.
Okay.
I think everything's good.
It feels like a little volatility is draining out of corn and soybeans, isn't it? I mean, what's going on there? The daily trading ranges are narrowing up.
Well, I think what happens, we get such nice rallies, right? I mean, when we popped, we really exploded. And they're going to settle down here a little bit. You're going to get some profit taking, and the buyers are still stepping in. I think that's what you look at is are there buyers willing to hold up the market? And the markets, every time they've tried to take them lower, they have found buyers to come back and push them back to new highs. And I don't think this is any different, but that does create either a very narrow trading range as you've got both sides trying to manipulate or maneuver, or you've got a little wider ranges. But as long as you hold, the trend and the trend direction right now is higher across the board. As long as that holds, the more buyers will step in, but right now you're having some good profit taking, and you know it's kind of they call it in trading the time of greatest uncertainty when markets are chopping back and forth in a tight range.
Okay, all right. What do you make of $60 plus crude oil?
I hate it, but of course, listen. When you got the crooks from OPEC back in the world, what do you think you're going to get? I mean, you know, I remember pumping gas in the '70s when they first shut down. They had to go alternate lines. This is going to be look. I never thought a crude oil would make 100 again. Well, guess what? We're probably going to get there again at some point because we're going to be under the gun and we have no more supply basically, and we're shut down. And of course, we're importing instead of being the biggest exporter of the world. We're going to be back to an importer, which is. Not a good situation, but that's
don't
that's
like hearing that, Bubba. All right, man, we got to hop. Thanks, man. That's Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. Luke Swenson, The Money Farm, up next. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is the first and only dicamba herbicide premix. In October of 2020, the EPA extended its registration for use this season and beyond in dicamba-tolerant soybeans and cotton. I'm joined today by Bobby Bachman, herbicide product lead with Syngenta. Bobby, what are the advantages that Tavium offers compared to a solo dicamba product?
Yeah, Tavium is a combination of dicamba and S-metolachlor, so it offers two effective sites of action and one convenient premix. Unlike dicamba alone, Tavium provides both contact and long-lasting residual control of the key weeds in soybeans and cotton. Tavium controls the weeds growers can see and helps protect against the weeds that they don't see yet. Tavium allows growers the ability to fight back when managing tough weeds such as Palmer amaranth and water hemp, just to name a few.
Yeah, that's great, Bobby. We know that more sites of action is a good thing, but tell us more about the benefits of this specific combination of S-metolachlor and dicamba.
Having more effective sites of action is better because weeds are more likely to develop resistance to herbicides that contain only one effective site of action. The combination of S-metolachlor and dicamba is also what is driving the longer residual activity in Tavium. Growers are going to see 3 weeks longer residual on annual grasses and small-seeded broadleaf weeds with Tavium than what they would get from applying dicamba alone.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Bobby. That was Bobby Bachman, herbicide product lead with Syngenta, explaining the advantages of Tavium compared to other dicamba herbicides. Don't let time run out on your herbicide management plan. Visit SyngentaUS.com/Tavium or speak with your Syngenta retailer to learn more. And remember to always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip technology is a restricted-use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Davis Michelson is with me.
You should probably know the flurries have started.
Have they?
Light flurries here.
Yes.
Light flurries.
Yeah, very light. Very light. Very good. Good to know.
Now you're up to date.
We're going to have a conversation with Luke Swenson from the Money Farm here in just about 40 seconds. We just need to get to the cotton and livestock news. What you got?
I can do it in 30. March cotton, 24 points higher, 88.36. December cotton firmed 19 points to 85 cents even. Traders are trying to digest another round of cattle market disruptions, but the premium futures hold of the cash market weighed on prices today. February live cattle fell 85 cents to 115.30. April cattle 165 lower, 124.15. March feeders down 235, 138.42 and a half. And on the snout side, weather conditions are slowing hog movement across the Midwest, and the threat of backed up market ready hog supplies weighed on front month futures. April lean hogs were 127 and one half lower, 84.90. June hogs one quarter lower, 92.62 and a half. Chip.
Davis, it is not cold enough here in northeast Iowa. Let's go further north, all the way up to Fargo, and have a conversation with Luke Swenson from the Money Farm. Luke, welcome back to AgriTalk. How you doing, man?
I was doing good until you started bragging. You know, I used to think you were humble, and you're like, oh, look at us, double-digit temperatures. We're so cool.
It's the first time in like 2 weeks we're punch drunk on sunshine right now, baby.
Oh, it's amazing. I laugh like we're all joking around. Like, it's hilarious watching, and I'm sorry for all you southern U.S. farmers that are listening that I'm kind of poking fun at with this, but like watching anyone from an area that doesn't know what frost is complaining about snow and all this stuff. Like, well, like it's just fun watching other people know our suffering. But our joke was we'd been below zero, I think, for 11 days. We finally came up and we're like 7 degrees now. But my crazy statistic is we're going to be, I think, it's gone higher now. So we're supposed to be in the 40s next week. But we were forecast to be from last Monday to next Monday, 70 degrees higher. And we were still below the average temperature of a refrigerator.
Wow.
That was when I decided I should start looking
twice. Yeah. I love it. Oof. Yeah. The weatherman here, I don't know if you saw Schnack the other day, Davis, said, listen, if you're looking for some warmer temperatures, go get in the deep freeze.
Perspective is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. Crazy. How you been, man?
Busy on both sides, on the trading side and on kind of working on the bushel side with all the different stuff we got going there. It's the world's moving fast in 21. You know, 2020 was the year that never ended. Now I look at it, I'm like, oh wait, we're 7 weeks in and flying right through this year, and
yeah,
going to be give just as volatile, just as crazy.
Give us an update on what's going on with your bushels.
Well, we've scaled pretty good last year. We got, I don't know, it's kind of hard rambling over what we can talk on NDAs and what we can't, but
okay,
figuring out growth plans. We've got some more big headlines probably coming in the next few weeks. You're going to see from that side of big upgrades and changes and some partnerships coming as we continue to get deeper. We're finishing up our offer system, which has taken too long to get perfect, but we'd rather release a perfect product than a flawed one, so we're getting that done. And continue to kind of absorb more handle. It's fun. The opportunities are coming faster than the ability to develop them. So
wow,
it's always a good spot to be in.
Fantastic. Did you just open up a new office in Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, 14 and sunny. Like, why wouldn't I want to go?
It's like us going to Orlando.
Yeah, it's, you know, perspective. Like, yet again, it's a beautiful thing. No, ironically, we hired a long-term old coworker from Northwest Iowa, Alan Hessling, came on just a week or two ago. So, yeah, Marcus, Iowa, if you're in the country and want to stop in and say hi, feel free. He'll be there all the time. Heck, I think that guy puts in more hours than I do on a pretty consistent basis in the office. So, and he drinks a lot more coffee, so you'll have the opportunity to have some.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. So let's go back to the February supply and demand report. Just give me a breakdown on how you feel about how the markets have traded since then. Are you getting or hearing any signals that that might be making you or increasing your urgency to do some marketing on 21 crop?
I'll retrace it a little bit with the Jan report too. Like when the Jan report came out, we made the statement that, hey, like in our opinion, the story's switching from beans to corn. I mean, beans are going to be pipeline. It's going to be tight. There's not like we've established that. And then when they, you know, they messed with the S&D side of corn a little on the negative side, you know, what was it? They upped Chinese imports. God, I can't remember. The 260 million bushels.
Yep.
Yeah. And they only took 50 out from the U.S. saying it's going to China. Well, where are those coming from? None of them are coming out of South America in the next 6 months. None of them are really coming from anywhere else. So you kind of took some of the powder away from that fire. But I think the market's still going to be trading it. I agree with Bubba's statements earlier. I don't think we've made the highs. They did put a little more fuel behind what beans can be by officially saying we're going to be ratcheting down, and we're probably going to be going under 100 million bushels by the time this thing's all said and done, unless we can get some ships up from South America. So no, I think fundamentally the old crop story is going to continue to get tighter. The big question is just going to be, and you're watching it in markets right now, you know, you had both old crops were down today, but new crops were actually higher. You're pushing this thing. You're trying to get some momentum behind it. You're building some of that premium in as the realizing acres are going to be the big thing. I don't know if the Outlook conference is really going to scare anybody one way or the other, but that's what we're really watching. Cause I mean, you're going to need to source these acres. I mean, Canada's going canola. That's going to pull down spring wheat. You're going to see a lot of interesting things. I mean, if Brazil goes from 130 to 132 to 135, I mean, you're not going to get any more beans in the world. Like those ports are at capacity until this fall. There's not a question about it. It's just like the Australia wheat deal. I mean, those guys, they got so much wheat, the interior spreads are just ridiculous because you can't get it out of the port. You just don't have anywhere to go with it. There's no option.
Yeah. I was getting ready to argue with you a little bit when you said, does it matter if we get all the way to 135 in Brazil? And then you hit me with that ports are at capacity and going to be at capacity. And that makes all the sense in the world, Luke. they're going to ship everything that they possibly can. It just comes down to a question of how much can they ship. So, yeah it's good perspective man.
They come to 135, it'll hurt new crop a little bit, and it'll take some of the muster off that. I don't think they'll get it up there. I think 132 is pretty, you know, if you're throwing a dart at a board, that's a pretty good one to make somebody pick an over-under on, in my opinion.
Okay, very good. What is China doing? What are they? Are they building up stocks, or is this corn, the protein, is it going straight into the feed the feed market? What's going on?
They're yes and yes. You look at it, I mean, they're doing everything. We protect food security. They're 10 to 1 us because they're a lot more volatile geopolitically in the world as well. So they're going to continue to go that protectionist route. I think you're going to see them continue to struggle with ASF and other things. I mean, heck, they're the only country that's created another strain of a virus by making backdoor, backroom vaccines. They're going to continue struggling with these things, but they're going to continue buying. Some people have been debating, hey, are they going to cancel a bunch of U.S. bean orders? Like, no, I don't think you're going to see that. Same on the corn side. I think they're going to start building some of this up. I don't think COVID has given them the ability to be in a position to play chicken with Biden right away. And thankfully, Biden's kind of taken a strong line with them from the start, which will hopefully deter some of that. I think the buying's true and they're there. You look at the interior prices, I mean, you're setting record cash prices, what they have there, which the irony, and here's your other statistical fact that is fun to throw out. When they revised their 5 years of stocks, was it 2 Novembers ago? And they came and they found a few billion bushels. I mean, no one knows what those numbers truly are, but how are you sitting on record interior cash prices if you have that situation? You know, the equivalent of what they said they found that day when that report came out was, we did the math on it. It was running, it was setting up a row of like 42-foot eight ring bends from the Mexican border going up the interstate. And I think it came to an end. Like, this is literally like, we did the math, like every 50 feet, you got a bend. And it went like, I want to say like 100 miles past Winnipeg. Like, that was the equivalent of what they'd said. That's a little bit of grain to find. And the market, I mean, like, the cash don't lie. That's the truest thing. And when you're looking at fundamentals, that's the big thing to lead it. You know, maybe a short-term versus long one. But.
And Luke, what's going on with their cash market is one of the reasons that I'm inclined to lean toward the FAO numbers that are suggesting big-time downside stocks revisions for China corn.
I don't disagree. I mean, you looked at the way this thing started loading up, and then you continue to look at what's sitting in growers' hands. You know, when we went out, we sold, I want to say it was the October report. We went from 50 to 100% sold on beans. And we told them, just get the heck out of it, buy calls. Buy and roll them. One of the times you're going to be long and lose 30 cents, but you might make a buck or two along the way. The irony was, is even our managed customers, when we did that, we went from 50% to 100% sold. We called them, 80% plus of them were already 100% cash sold out of beans. On the flip side, now I'm looking at it, and everyone kind of held corn pretty good initially, but now we're seeing it on the corn side. I mean, we're still sitting on half our, or 40% of our corn, but we're calling around and it's not there. They've started moving it too, and that's where I think when you look at Bubba's statements around the technicals and price action, it's good price action. You're seeing less and less in the growers' hands. You know, cash is staying strong. I mean, products are leading.
We got to take a break, Luke, but I want to talk more about that 20 crop. Hey, everybody, Chip Flory here. I've got a great deal for you to tap into all the information at the 2021 Top Producer Summit. You don't have to travel. It's all online, and I'll pick up half the tab. That's right, because you listen to AgriTalk, Top Producer is working with us to take your fee from $150 down to $75. Use promo code AgriTalk when you register at tpsummit.com. It's a half-price deal only for AgriTalk listeners. Use promo code AgriTalk at tpsummit.com. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers. First thing today, the full House may pass COVID-19 stimulus legislation as soon as February 26. Restoring earmarks could ease negotiations on an infrastructure bill. Food companies warn they may pass rising commodity prices on to consumers. Here we go again with that story. Europe's new top trade partner is China. Ford pledges to go entirely electric in Europe. COVID-19 outbreak forces Alberta pork processing plant to close. As we talked about this morning with Brad Hewlett from CBP, stressful weather should bolster cash cattle, but futures already carry a wide premium to the cash market, and weather is slowing down cash hog slaughter. No question about that. Give Pro Farmer a try at tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to the new AgriTalk with Chip Flory and me, the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson.
Davis.
Real
At least he's got the courtesy to say that yawn's not for you, you know?
Well,
like, I gotta wonder how many people are out there listening to the news and they're like, oh, man, that guy's some broadcaster.
He used to have the courtesy to say that. He's even gotten tired of saying that.
He has. Man. I gotta come up with some new material for this guy. I don't know.
Evidently.
If you can't impress the producer, you know, what good are you? It's radio biz, you know?
And I mean, this one's pretty easy to impress, too. So I don't know where you're falling short.
Yeah. I don't either. I got to reevaluate.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. We're talking to Luke Swenson from the Money Farm. First, let's go ahead and recap how the markets closed.
Chip, July hard red winter wheat was 11¾ cents lower today at 633¼. July soft red down 9½ cents, 637¼. March corn futures 0.75 cents higher, 5.53. May corn up a penny, 5.50¾. March bean futures were a penny lower, 13.83¾. May beans slipped a penny, 13.84¾. March cotton 24 points higher, 88.36. April cattle 165 lower, 124.15. March feeders off 235, Chip, 138.42½. And April lean hogs were 127½ lower on the day, 84.90 all told. That's your quick market recap. Back to you.
Yeah, and that feeder cattle market, the front month contract, the March contract, was under the most pressure. April off $1.85. You get out to the August and September down about $1. I think what's going on there, Davis, is there's some concern that we're going to slow down marketings because of getting cattle off a feed in the cold temperatures, the change up in the rations because they can't get what they were normally feeding. There's all kinds of concerns about that. And if you slow down your marketings, well, then it's going to slow down the replacement of those cattle too. Might take a little bit out of the demand side for the feeders.
Like we said, longer term impacts of what's going on down there.
Right. No question. Luke Swenson is with the Money Farm up in Fargo, North Dakota. He's our guest today. Luke, at the end of the last segment, how much do you have left of 2020 corn?
On a marketing basis, we say 40%.
You still got 40% to move. That, obviously, it's that seems heavy based on what we're hearing from across the country and, quite frankly, what the basis is telling us that that movement has been more than 60% of the 2020 crop. Is that off base?
No, I think that's fair. And it is seasonally and like historically it's heavy for us too. We're normally not this heavy that late, but like I said, fundamentally you said, look at it. I mean, you know, why are we crushing for ethanol right now? Are we crushing for ethanol? Or are we crushing for DDGs? Why are we crushing for meat? You know, like you look at these products, they're absolutely on fire. And that's, I think the thing that, it's just making me think when everyone's looking and saying we're going to have slowdowns because fuel's not high enough, we're going to put ethanol. These guys aren't going to shutter a plant in the middle of January because if you shut it, it's done till April. You know, that was the saving grace of COVID last year when it was timed. I mean, if you had the world shut down in January, you killed ethanol for 3 months anywhere basically above Omaha. And I just don't see demand slowing down on the crush side anywhere in any of these products at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, and the byproducts really are helping out, or co-products. Should call it a co-product, the DDGs.
Yeah, co.
Helping out.
Co is more fair this year than any other year.
Oh, definitely, definitely. When did you get to 100% sold on beans?
I apologize. I'm trying to remember if it was the September or the October report, and then we just rolled that half into options.
Sure. And you got long the call options then. What do you think was the level of participation among farmers on the – in the last $2 of this bean rally?
Last dollar really fell off. I think, I mean, I want to say our January options were topping out at 1280 when we were in them. And then we were rolling to, you know, like 13, 1450s or something like that. And you really started to see guys peter off there. But they were really heavy from the 11 to 13 and change range.
Okay. Now, you said at some point you're going to lose 30 cents, but in the process you're going to make a buck or a buck 50 or even $2, maybe more than that.
Or you sold the high on cash.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I think that attitude, that strategy, that's hard for some farmers to participate in. What does the conversation sound like when you are talking with a client and you say, listen, I want you to go ahead and listen, the momentum in this bean market is to the upside, but look at what's going on. You got basis doing this. You got everything else is lining up. You should be making the cash sales and buying a call option. If they hesitate to do that, what does the conversation sound like?
I'll use an actually a more prevalent one where we are losing money. Right before the Jan report, when we were at 435 and we were like 1140 on beans, new crop. We went out and we said, hey, guys, we've got nothing sold. This market's been wild. You know, is it done today? We don't think so. That being said, you could buy a 430 floor with short-dated options that expire this Friday. So they get you through two USDA reports, another month of Brazilian production, plus most of Brazil's harvest. And, you know, you're basically buying a higher insurance floor in case this thing collapses. And we told everyone, like, we're buying these on 30%. Now pay attention to that, because I don't like trading unless the goal is to make money. But you got to realize, like, spec trading and hedging, you're going to make – there's going to be nuances that adjust to it. So sure. I made the joke that you want these to expire worthless. You know, if you want a good cash price, you want us to be at $5. But that being said, you having a third price at 430 and 1120, if for some reason we're at 390 and 10 come March, I mean, you're in a great shape. You can breathe and you can protect that. And that's what we're seeing right now. I mean, you're at 450, you're at 1180, 1190, and those are expiring worthless this Friday. And that's the same we said, we're going to leave them on. There's, you know, there's 2 cents left in them after the report. And we said, do we take them off? And same thing. We're like, you're going to pay a half a cent in commission. Just leave them on. Yep. And it's insurance. You're basically paying insurance premium to protect this downside. And that's what it is. It's an opportunity cost conversation. And it's not for everyone. That. You know, some just stick to cash, which is just fine. But you need to really educate yourself on the tools.
Yeah, it provides some great flexibility. I love it. Okay. You are in an area that if there might be some movement in the acreage mix from this point forward, it could happen up in the Dakotas, North Dakota, South Dakota. Have we waited too long to send the message that we need more bean acres?
I don't think so. The bigger question is, like, you look at the planting season, you know, we're a little different up here. We'll start with wheat and some of the specialties, then we'll work in and we'll hammer row crops right after that. I think the more interesting one is you've got canola absolutely on fire. You have flowers. Some of these, like the bean specialty contracts, are taking their time catching up, but they're getting there. I think the bigger thing is no one's going to pay attention to spring wheat or spring wheat futures until you're about ready to plant it. You know, the market's not moving enough because it knows guys are stubborn enough to stay kind of close enough to get enough acres. If we need to buy a million acres, or they're worried so much is going to go to canola, corn, and beans, then you'll see that spring wheat probably take off right around the beginning of April, just to guarantee, you know, we don't have guys switch too many quarters one way or the other. But I think it's going to be Canada's going canola. I think you're going to see spring wheat drop off there because of it. I think Western North Dakota, Northern North Dakota, Northern Minnesota, where you historically see a good chunk of wheat, I think you're going to see guys hesitant to do it once you see these good crop insurance guarantees. And if we have any delays or anything that look like they're slowing up planting anywhere in the row crop world, I think you're going to see a quicker shift that way. But I mean, we got guys that they swore off corn 2-3 years ago because they're out west where there's not much for a demand base. And, you know, I was out for some managed meetings with a couple of them. And so what's your rotation going to be next year? Oh, we bought 1,500 acres of corn. you guys sold a planter 2 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
Bought some just in case. We're going to be fickle and jump on that. But I don't think you're going to see a big deviation because, like I said, all these specialties are going to keep everyone relatively in check. I think we're going to go test the mid-90s on corn. The beans are going to need some more excitement to do it, though.
Okay, mid-90s. What number of planted corn acres would it take to surprise you to the upside? I mean, would 95 surprise you, or does it take a 96?
I think it takes 96.
Okay. What about beans? Well, what number surprises you on the upside there?
I'd say the better leading question is, can you tell me where we have a crop insurance average before we get into the field?
1165.
1165 and probably 460.
Yep.
I think 96, and then you put it, 93, 94.
Wow. Those are big numbers when you throw them together.
I think they are, but that's the question is right now you're looking at 650 wheat. The thing that's going to throw it is, I mean, we got a lot of guys that still remember 2019 and harvesting corn in February, March, April. Yep. You know, that might keep us back down in that 93 and 92 area. But you're going to see, I think you're going to see some more flexing at the moment with prices where they currently are than people expect. But I think demand's also understated, so I'm not worried that it's going to send us down to $4 and 1080 either.
Okay. What do you, U.S. crop or planting conditions, is that what you're going to be watching most closely here over the next 60 days?
No, next 30 for sure is how Brazil finishes and the Safrina starts. I mean, okay. That's the statement. Whenever we've been speaking all winter, I mean, U.S. plants a crop a month late, we can freeze it. Brazil plants a crop late, the fact that they made it shouldn't have surprised anyone. Like, they're going to have moisture, they're going to have warm temps. Like, they're going to finish the bean crop, it'll get there. But the knock-on effect, I mean, do you guys know what the average corn yield is in Brazil?
Usually about 140.
Yeah, so you sit there, you've got a crop that's not as quality as ours to start with, and its problem is it runs out of moisture. So yeah. You go out there, and I think you're high on that one anyway, but I mean, like, you go out there and you come out and you shave an extra month off of the moisture it gets when it hits its average dry cycle. I mean, that, I think, is the thing that in that January report started shifting the story to corn.
Gotcha.
If you shave
Luke,
anything more than a few million tons there, it gets on fire.
We got to go, but what a great conversation. Thank you so much, Luke.
Have a good one.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Davis Michelson is with me. Wrapped up
yes.
A really good conversation, thought-provoking conversation mm-hmm. with Luke Swenson from the Money Farm up in Fargo. He mm-hmm. said that we were bragging on our double digits above zero.
Yeah. Now,
too fun.
If we could talk about stringing a couple of double digits above 0 days in a row, mm-hmm. then I'd say we'd have something to brag about. Right now, I'm just celebrating.
Coming.
You know what I mean?
I think they're coming. I was going to end with this to end on a... No, I'm going to save it. I am. I'm going to save it because I want to end on a good note. Something happy. Okay?
China to continue on a protectionist route and continue buying both corn and soybeans.
And not canceling mm-hmm. what they have already purchased. That's just as important as continuing to buy.
Mm-hmm.
That's an aggressive take. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but it's an aggressive take. And the capacity, the ability to ship everything that has already been put on the books, that's a question that we're going to dive into tomorrow morning when we have a conversation with Mike Steenhoek from the Soy mm-hmm. Transportation Coalition. Because these cold conditions are binding up our infrastructure in so many ways. It's not just what's happening in Texas. Look at what's happening on the Illinois River, the Ohio River, the upper Mississippi River is basically shut down, but the lower, the middle and lower Mississippi rivers where we're dealing with narrower channels to operate in, and we're having all kinds of issues moving grain around the country now. It's not just snow-covered tracks that slow down rail. It's the operation of those engines that have an influence on how much grain we can move. You go up into Luke's area, up in North Dakota, mm-hmm. we'd like to think that if there's any beans left up there, that they're moving by rail to the Pacific Northwest to ship out to China. Well, with as much snow as is on the ground, the cold temperatures, it makes it really, really difficult. And just the time that they can spend outside, a lot of these guys, and I know that there are guys that can pull an 8-hour shift out in the cold. That's not everybody. That's not everybody. And it slows down the process, slows it down.
And one wonders at some point if rail isn't going to start heading not to the PNW, but from North Dakota down to Texas, carrying oil.
Sure. Sure. It's the competition. It's a competition for power at that point.
Mm-hmm.
How many engines are available? When you start taking the hopper cars onto the side tracks and unhooking and leaving them there, something's wrong for the grain industry, because they're going to haul oil. They're going to get paid more to haul oil. That's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like that.
One of the things that Luke was talking about there at the end is, tell me what the spring price on soybeans. Tell me what the spring price on corn is going to be for the revenue protection policies. We are now 12 days in to February, 12 sessions into February, and just 7 to go. Isn't that weird? 19 7. Business days in February. That's it.
Wow.
So we're taking 19 days out of the year and using those 19 days to establish the spring price for corn and soybeans for revenue protection policies. That thought just hit me. Anyway, looking at AA Crop on Twitter, that's the Auburn agency. I found this last week. Remember that they're running?
Mm-hmm. I do.
They've got the running averages. It's for corn and soybeans.
Ruth's outfit, right?
Yep, yeah. Ruth Gertis's. The average, let's see, December corn today closed at 460. The average for the month of February is $4.53. November soybeans today closed at 11.89. The average for the month of February, $11.70. So based on the conversation that I had this morning with Tony Melanthin and Bob Birdsell, that ain't close on a price ratio, on a corn-soybean price ratio. It's not close to moving acres out of a rotation from corn to soybeans. Both of those guys said it's going to take a lot more than what the bean market is offering right now to bust any acres out of their rotation.
Really, from a wider lens type of a view on that, it felt like Bob at least was saying, look, people don't want to fiddle around with taking the risk of switching crops and, you know, jumping out of your rotation and jumping back into it. It's just not worth the risk, is what I recall him saying.
Yeah, absolutely. In place, he said it he's tried it before and it's not worked out.
Right.
So uninterested in doing it going forward. National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook for February 23rd through the 27th calls for above normal temperatures across the entire Corn Belt. You're welcome. You're welcome, America. We've got above normal precipitation through North Dakota, western South Dakota, northern Minnesota, and into northern Wisconsin. Otherwise, we're looking at normal to below normal precipitation. Again, that's for February 23rd through the 27th. Now, let's see if we can hold on to them. Jump out to the 8 to 14 day. This is for February 25th to March 3rd.
We've it's got coming, baby.
Above normal temperatures expected from the Dakotas down through eastern Nebraska, eastern Kansas, eastern Oklahoma, Texas. They're on the way, and all of the eastern two-thirds, really, eastern two-thirds of the country is looking at above, at least normal temperatures and above normal temperatures. So got some really good news coming there. We've got above normal precipitation expected in the eastern belt as well. All right. Hey, for Davis and for producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, thanks for listening. Tomorrow morning, we got a full boat. We've got Leo McDonald, we've got Mike Steenhook, and we've got Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller right here on AgriTalk. Thanks to Tavium plus Vapor Grip Technology Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your Syngenta retailer to learn how Tavium can help protect against tough and resistant weeds for 3 weeks longer than dicamba alone. And remember to always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip technology is a restricted use pesticide.